Are we ready, Carolyn?
All right.
We are getting there.
Look out. Yeah.
She makes fun of me. My tablet.
Hallelujah.
I still hear that music. Isn't that something? Thought we got rid of it.
No.
This morning we are going to be talking about birth pains of planet Earth. A little prophecy message about where we're at on the biblical timetable. And Matthew chapter 24, probably a pretty common chapter, known as the Olivet Discourse, uses the word birth pains. It's about what is happening on planet Earth leading up to the second coming of Jesus Christ. When a woman is having birth pains, you know that it's time for delivery, right? And as we see these birth pains of planet Earth, we know it is time for deliverance. Amen. Our redemption draws nigh. In Matthew 24, some of the things that are mentioned, nations rising against nations, famine, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places, a time like never has been or ever will be, the earth on the brink of extinction. Jesus said, unless the days are shorted, no flesh would survive. And the sun being darkened, the moon not giving her light, stars falling from the heavens. And, of course, we know that stars are really giant suns, so we're probably talking about some kind of asteroids or meteors. The powers of heaven being shaken. These are the things that the Bible tells us would begin to take place as we are approaching the day and time which we live today. Isaiah chapter 24, beginning of verse 19, says, the earth is utterly broken down, the earth is clean dissolved, the earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro as a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgressions thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. The implication is that the earth is paying the price for our sins. You know, dating back to the blood of Abel slain by Cain, that innocent blood that was oozing out into the soil of the earth, to today, the earth is reeling from the sins of humanity. And this thing of the earth wobbling as a drunken man, some scholars, scientific scholars, say that there is coming a point where the earth may flip on its axis. You can imagine what that would do to the people on the earth. Isaiah 34:4, and all the hosts of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll. Incidentally, it was Albert Einstein that described space as a fabric like a sheet. Isn't that interesting? And the Bible pretty much compares it to a sheet, a scroll stretched out. And all of the hosts shall fall down, and the leaves fall off from the vines, and as a falling fig from a fig tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Edom and upon the people of my curse to judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with a fatness, and with the blood of lambs and goats, and the fats of kidneys of rams. For the Lord has a sacrifice in Bozra and a great slaughter in the land of Edom. Now, Bozra, of course, is the ancient word for what is today the rock city of Petra in Jordan. It is where the Jews will flee. And when Jesus comes back, he will rescue them, just like the cavalry of the Westerns showing up right at the last minute as the armies of the Antichrist are marching on Basra, the rock city of Petra, where the Jews will be preserved for the last 3.5 years. He will swoop down and begin to fight. And in this statement about his blood on the sword, you know, we see in Revelation 19, the sword is the word of God coming out of his mouth. And he is dripping in the blood of those that he slaughters. So quite a graphic description. Goes on to say, and the unicorn shall come down with them, and the bullocks with the bulls, and the land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust shall be made with fatness. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, and the year of recompense for the controversy of Zion. What is the controversy of Zion? It's the way they've treated the Jews. You know, this dates back to the Pharaoh who did not know Joseph. It is, you know, the history of those who have persecuted the Jews through Hitler and all the way up even to the Antichrist. Herod, who killed all of the firstborn, you know, trying to stop the birth of the Messiah. And so this controversy of the Jews, that the people will pay. There is the Lord's vengeance, the year of his recompense is coming. We are living in the age where we will see the year of God's recompense. Now, so we're talking about a time when sin's misery has reached its fullness. It's a time when no one on earth can escape. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 28 says, and the destruction of the transgressor and of the sinner shall be together, and they that forsook the Lord shall be consumed. You know, oftentimes we in our sanctimonious Christian life, we talk about the sinner, but what about the people who knew the Lord and has forsaken him? The backsliders, you know, he's grouping those same people in with those who, the others, and all of the destruction that is coming is because of man who has forgotten his God. Now, of course, I mentioned earlier the in the Olivet Discourse, earthquakes stand out. Those are birth pains. Earthquakes are birth pains. The earth is quaking. The earth is, what's that nurse medical term for false contractions? Braxton Hicks, right? Is that it? I'm looking at our nurse back there. That's what earthquakes are. They're the Braxton Hicks. Right, they're the tremors leading up to delivery. They're the birth pains, and of course, like any birth pains, they get more intense as the time of deliverance draws near. The number of earthquakes in approximately 24 hours, late Thursday night through Friday, are you ready for this? These are 3.0 earthquakes. Here we go. 5.1 Peru, 7/28 on the 15th. 3.5 Alaska at 7/11. 4.0 India at 4/21. 5.0 Japan, 1:39 p.m. 5.3 Japan, 12:57 p.m. These are all on the 15th. I'm going back, okay? 4.1 Alaska, 12:55. 4.2 Iran, 12:50. 4.4 Philippines, 11:44 a.m. 4.9 Indonesia, 9:43, 3.3 Alaska, 7:39 a.m., 3.2 Dominican Republic at 6:36 a.m. Are you guys getting this? 4.4 Japan at 5:26 a.m., 4.9 Pakistan at 4:42, 4.3, how do you say that, Tajikistan, whatever, 4:32, 3.5 Alaska, 3:39, 4.5 Solomon Islands at 3:04 a.m. This is all on the 15th of this month. 4.4 Scotia Sea at 2:10 a.m. The Papua New Guinea at 4.9 at 2:08. Kyrgyzstan 12:57 a.m. 4.8. Argentina 5.5. Alaska 5.4. Colombia 4.1. Japan 5.2. Guam 4.9. Indonesia 4.0. We're on the 14th. We're looking at just a little over the 24 hours. Spencer, Oklahoma, 3.0. Did you guys know that happened on the 14th at 6:17 p.m.? 4.9 Peru at 6:13 p.m. 4.7 Indonesia at 5:25 p.m. 4.7 the Philippines at 12:14 p.m. Also Indonesia, another 4.8, and Peru, 4.7. And there you have just a little over 24 hours, that many earthquakes that are 3.0 and greater. What would you call that? I would call that a sign, wouldn't you? a sign that the Lord is about to wrap this thing up, and you and I get to be a part of it. That's the exciting thing. Revelation chapter 6, verse 12 says, "And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell upon the earth, even as a fig tree casts its untimely figs when she is shaken by a mighty wind. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their place." Every mountain and every island. Isn't that amazing? And so, you know, obviously this is during the tribulation, the sixth seal, but this is where we are going. Some of the verses, Acts chapter 2, verse 20, "The sun will be turned into darkness, the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Aren't you glad we're still living in the hour of grace? The door has not been shut. Joel 2:31, "The sun will be turned into darkness, the moon to blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes." So, we've talked about this before. I think it's noteworthy to just kind of mention it again, what's starting next year on the four blood red moons. Of course, a blood red moon, the Bible calls it, is simply a lunar eclipse. It's when the shadow of the earth is cast upon the moon, and it has a reddish tint. Next year, beginning with Passover in 2014, there are four blood red moons that occur on four of the feast days. There are seven main feast days on the Jewish calendar. The first one of the year is Passover. The last one is Sukkoth, or Feast of Tabernacle, right? And starting next year, 2014, there is a blood red moon on Passover 2014, and then one on Sukkoth in the fall in 2014, one on Passover in 2015, and Sukkoth in 2015. Pastor Mark Blitz of Tacoma, Washington, is the one who discovered this several years ago. I know John Hagee has made a little money writing the books about it, but he's not the one who actually discovered it. It was this fellow by the name of Mark Blitz, who has a very Jewish Christian ministry up in Washington. In addition to that, there's a couple of solar eclipses that are going to be taking place also during that same timeline. Now, when you talk about solar eclipses, you know, the Jews say that a blood red moon is a prophecy of Israel and the soon of something bad for Israel, and that the lunar eclipse, something bad for the Gentile nations. What a lot of people might have missed, and when we did a prophecy update way back in 2000 and whatever, we talked about these. They've come and went. I'm not sure the significance of it, but there was a solar eclipse on the 1st of Av in 2008, 9, and 10, just a few years ago. Now, Av, of course, is that month of mourning. It actually begins a few weeks before the 1st of Av in Tishra, I forget. And then, anyway, it goes through the 9th of Av being that big, great day, the 9th of Av, when all of the things happened. The 9th of Av was when the Jews rejected their land and God cursed that day. And then, of course, Solomon's temple was destroyed on the 9th of Av. Herod's temple by the Romans were destroyed on the 9th of Av. The Jews were expelled from Spain on the 9th of Av. And Hitler's declaration to exterminate the Jews was signed on the 9th of Av. And if you remember when they gave up the Gaza Strip back in 2005 and the Jews were on their houses crying, they didn't want to leave their lands, it was the 9th of Av. We saw one in our own lifetime. And so when Nebuchadnezzar had his siege against Israel, the wall was breached on the 1st of Av, and then, like I said, the temple was destroyed on the 9th. And so that has certainly some significance. Now, going back to the four consecutive blood red moons, they're called a tetrad, and there's been seven of them since 1 AD. There was one in 162 and 163 AD, 795, 796, 842, 843, 860, and 861. We don't really know the significance of those. There was a lot of history during that time that can be tied to it. But the last three we do know, 1492 and 3, 1948 and 49, 1967, of course, those all stand out. The Spanish Inquisition took place in 1492, and the Jews were told in Spain, you either convert to Christianity or be killed. And so many Jews left Spain, including a half-Jewish sailor by the name of Christopher Columbus, which you don't hear in your history books, that part of it, do you? And then, of course, we know what happened in 1948, Israel statehood, and, of course, there was, of course, immediately after that, the war of 1948, and then the Six-Day War in 1967. All of those events had these same four blood-red moons at Passover and Tabernacle, and Passover and Tabernacle over those two-year periods. More than a coincidence. The actual dates of the next year upcoming is April 15th is the Passover, and then October 8th of 2014, Sukkoth or Tabernacle, and then Passover 2015 will be April 4th, and then 9/28 or September 28th will be Tabernacle. So days to watch. Now, there's also this thing of a sabbatical year. Every 7 years, the Jews, just like, you know, weeks and so on, everything rotates. And Rosh Hashanah began the seven-year cycle back on September 30th, 2008, and it ends on Rosh Hashanah on September 13th, you know, at sunset into the 14th. There is a solar eclipse on the end of the sabbatical year on 9/13/2015. And there is also a solar eclipse on Nisan 1, which is March 20th. You say, well, what does that have to do with it? Well, good question. Check this out. This is really pretty amazing. All right? The religious year begins with a solar eclipse on Nisan 1, which is March 20th, 2015. 2 weeks later is when that lunar eclipse on Passover falls on April 4th. Then when you get to the civil year, begins with another solar eclipse on the Feast of Trumpets on September 13th, and exactly 2 weeks later is when Tabernacle falls on September 28th. So there is some definite God structure going on in the year 2015. Amen? Jesus told the Jews that if they did not praise him, that the very rocks themselves would cry out. And when I talk about birth pangs of planet Earth, I'm believing that's what we're about to witness. We're about to witness some kind of miraculous God thing from planet Earth. Say, well, what would that look like, Brother Roger? Well, I don't know. But I bet we'll see, won't we? Now, another thing that, you know, ties in with earthquakes, of course, is volcanoes. How many of you guys watched my goofy video on Facebook that I posted on YouTube? I told Nola Jean, I showed it to Carolyn before we went to bed last night. She said, I'm surprised you didn't have nightmares. You know, I actually plagiarized the section from the movie Dante's Peak and showed the volcano erupting and ash flying and rocks flying and, you know, promoting today's message. So that's all right. Yellowstone National Park in Wyoming is what's known as a caldera or a super volcano. There are volcanoes and then there are super volcanoes. The ground under it, we are being told, is rising at a record rate, at approximately 3 inches a year. Now, if you go to the Yellowstone.gov website, they tell you how wonderful Yellowstone is and how safe it is and all this stuff. You won't read this on the government website, but they're saying that it's rising at a record rate of 3 inches a year. It is the largest volcano in North America. A full-blown eruption would dump about 10 feet of ash up to 1,000 miles away and render most of the U.S. uninhabitable. The magma or hot spots beneath Yellowstone is approximately 300 miles across. An eruption would be 1,000 times greater than Mount St. Helens in 1980. How many of you guys remember when Mount St. Helens erupted in 1980? That was an ominous sight, wasn't it? The video we saw of that. And they're saying Mount St. Helens would be 1,000 times greater than that. I mean, Yellowstone would be 1,000 times greater. Professor Bob Smith says that he has never seen anything like this in the 53 years he has been watching Yellowstone. In the past, he has never seen two simultaneous earthquake swarms around Yellowstone in his 53 years of monitoring. And this year, 2013, he has seen three simultaneous earthquake swarms. In September of this year, 130 quakes hit Yellowstone over a course of a single week. They began on September 10th, 2013, and continued till approximately 11:30 a.m. on September 16th. And notice that it fell on that ominous day of 9/11. the day that, you know, if we followed the harbinger, seems to be a day of reckoning for America. The worst case, full-blown eruption, they're saying two-thirds of the U.S. would be uninhabitable. Some of the facts about Yellowstone, since 2004, some areas have risen by more than 10 inches. There are approximately 3,000 quakes per year. As far as an eruption, the ash would wipe out most of the food production in the United States. A volcanic winter would occur, dropping temperatures by more than 20 degrees. And the experts are saying that it is not a matter of if, but when. Isn't that amazing? Now, as the cloud cuts off the light and burning rocks begin to fall, a prophet of old seeing this in a vision might say, the sun was darkened like sackcloth, and the moon didn't give her light, and the stars fell like figs. Oh, well, we read that, didn't we? Isn't that amazing? Now, other volcanoes, I tried saying this earlier, and I think I had it down, Popocatépetl, or whatever, it's in Mexico, is at it again. In July, it began spewing ash into the sky. Also in August, NBC News said that the most dangerous volcano in Japan had erupted 500 times this year, shooting ash 3 miles in the air. How come we're not hearing any of this on the news? Now, Comet Ison. How many of you guys have heard about Comet Ison? A couple of us, right? Ison. Thought that was kind of neat. We know that Comet Ison is coming. I got news for you. The sun is coming, too. He is the I Am, and he is the sun, and he's heading our way. Comet Ison will be its closest to the sun on Thanksgiving Day. That's the 28th, just a few weeks away. However, it will be at its closest point to Earth on November 25th. That falls on a Monday, which happens to be Hanukkah. There's another one of those Jewish feast days. It's also known as the Feast of Dedication. And this comet that they say is going to put on quite a show in the heavens is going to show up on the Festival of Lights on Hanukkah, on the Feast of Dedication. So in order to just kind of get this in perspective, we always want to go back to the Word, right? We don't want to speculate. There's enough people out there speculating. But let's look at John chapter 10. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "Verily, verily, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." Then as we get a little farther down in the chapter 10 of John, verse 22, it says, "And it was at Jerusalem the Feast of Dedication." So it's on Hanukkah, right? It's on the Festival of Lights, the Feast of Dedication. "And it was winter, and Jesus walked into the temple at Solomon's porch, and the Jews came to him." Now, the Jews are always trying to trap Jesus. And they came to Jesus, and they got all around him. You can just imagine them all circling him, these religious fanatics that don't have a relationship with God. And they say to him, "How long do you make us doubt? If you're the Christ, tell us plainly." Now, they don't want to know that he's the Christ. They don't want to believe him. They're just trying to trap him so they can kill him. They hate him because he keeps calling them sinners and broods of vipers and whitewashed tombs full of dead man's bones and hypocrites. And so they're not wanting to know if he's the Christ. They're just trying to trap him. And so he responds and he says, "I told you and you believe not. The works I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you." Now, he's pretty plain, right? You're not my sheep, right? "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they will never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." How many sheep we got in here today? Hallelujah! I'm glad I'm a sheep, aren't you? So Jesus, on the Feast of Dedication, is driving a truth home. My sheep know my voice. My sheep are my sheep, and they follow me. You know, the Lord is my shepherd. This 23rd Psalm is one of the most beautiful psalms because it communicates relationship. It communicates that God is like a shepherd, and we are like sheep, and he leads us beside still water, and he restores our soul, and he's always there watching over us, keeping the wolves off of us, you know. That's relationship, amen? And so Comet Ison is coming on the Feast of Dedication, and another son came on the Feast of Dedication. He didn't speak of religion, but he spoke of relationship of a shepherd and his sheep. And so this whole Feast of Dedication, this whole Hanukkah, this whole Festival of Lights is tied to relationship, amen? It's tied to having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so we have shaking events in our life. How many of you guys have ever had a shaking event in your life? You know, we're not just talking about the earth shaking. Sometimes we shake, don't we? Maybe it's a major illness or a financial calamity or a loss of a loved one. Maybe it's an embarrassing or humiliating event where you go, oh, God, why did I say that or why did I do that? Maybe it's a divorce. Maybe it's a thousand different things. And God has a way, because he loves us, of shaking our world, of shaking our foundation, of shaking our security. I remember back in 2006, my good friend Cindy gave me a book called Where Is My Cheese? You remember that? Was that the title of the book? Or Finding My Cheese or something? You know, I didn't know anything about the book at the time. It's about, they give it to people when they've been laid off. Corporations give it out. When you go through a divorce, people give it out. Because, see, we're comfortable with normalcy. And when we lose something, a spouse, a job, or whatever, security, our world is shaken. For the Jews, the temple was everything. They were known by their temple. In fact, we talked about the Olivet Discourse of Matthew 24. It starts out with the disciples saying to Jesus, check out our beautiful temple. Right? Remember that? That was national pride was in their temple. And Jesus, of course, said to them, you know, one stone won't be left upon another. So for the Jews, the temple was their national pride. And it was desecrated so that the Feast of Dedication was put there to help them remember the loss and commit the future. It was about relationship. Now, when we talk about shaking events, the Jews were familiar with loss because of the temple. Solomon's temple was destroyed by Babylon, and they finally rebuild it. But when you read Ezra and Nehemiah and Haggai and Zechariah, you know, this little shack that they built to be the temple after they came back to their land after 70 years was nothing compared to Solomon's temple. And the Bible says that there was two classes of people there. There was classes that were laughing and rejoicing, and there was classes that were crying. Because the young people that never had a temple were happy they had a temple, and the old people that remember Solomon's temple are looking at this new one and going, this is terrible. This is nothing like the old one, right? And so we come to the book of Haggai. Haggai was a prophet of that time when they came back to the land and they were rebuilding the temple. And the Bible says in the seventh month, on the 1 20th day, 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said, speak to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the priest, and to the residue of the people, saying. Now, before we go farther, look at these three class of people here, right? We've got Zerubbabel, who's the governor. We've got Joshua, who's the high priest, and we've got the residents of the people. You see, I think this represents God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And of course, we know the Holy Spirit is in us, right? We're the residents, right, of the Holy Spirit. We're the residents. And so Haggai is a prophetic book. It is not just about that day and that hour. It is about a time of shaking. It is a time of change. It is a time of dedication. And the word of the Lord came to him, and he said, who is left among you saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it in your eyes in comparison as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehoshadak, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord. You know, as we begin to see God begin to shake everything that can be shaken, it's going to be tempting to be afraid. But the word of the Lord is, fear not, I am with you. Fear not, I'm with you. This is not a time to be afraid and get quit. It's a time to roll up your sleeves and say, we're going to finish what the church started 2,000 years ago. We're going to preach the word. We're going to be instant in season out of season. We're going to see the lost saved. The sick's going to be healed. And they're going to have the gospel preached to them. God's going to finish a work. Amen? This is the hour. He goes on to say, according to the word that I covenanted with you when I brought you out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Fear not. Everybody say, fear not. See, when Nola said, I can't believe you showed that video to Carolyn before bedtime, she's going to have nightmares. Yeah. But fear not. Amen. Yeah, the world's about to blow up, but fear not. Right? For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once, as in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. God is getting ready to shake this place. And he's telling us in advance, I'm going to do this. But don't be afraid. I'm going to do this, but don't panic. You're going to see these things happen around you, and you're going to be tempted to be afraid, but this is the time of dedication. This is the hour of dedication. It's going to be all right. He said, I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come to me, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of the latter house will be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. You know, some people ask me, do you believe there's going to be a great revival before the Lord takes the church out? You know, I have teetered on this subject for quite a few years. Because, you know, there was a time in my life, oh yeah, there's coming a great revival. And then the more I prayed, the more I read, the more I studied, and I see where the Bible says in Timothy that there's going to be a falling away, you know. And I thought, well, maybe the great revival was 1900 when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit happened. And, you know, Billy Graham and Oral Roberts and all these guys. And, you know, maybe we're at the part now where everybody's backsliding and falling away. But I'm here to tell you, I believe now that the glory of the latter is going to be greater than the glory of the former. And God is going to do it. Amen. God is going to do it. And we get to be a part of this shaking. Now, it doesn't end there. We got a little bit more. Stay with me. In the 24th day of the 9th month, now it's a couple months later, the 24th day or the 24th day of the 9th month in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord comes to Haggai again. Guess what? The 24th day of the 9th month happens to be the Feast of Dedication. Isn't that amazing? You know, it hadn't even become a feast yet in the Old Testament, right? This is during the Maccabean Revolt when they desecrated the temple. And it was about 160 B.C. when the Feast of Dedication began. But who but God would set this day before the day became a day that the word of the Lord comes to Haggai on this day, the 24th day of the 9th month. And here's what the word is. He said, I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail in all the labor of your hands, yet you didn't turn to me, says the Lord. Now he's talking to Israel, you know, old Israel, right? Consider now from what day? This day upward. See, the Feast of Dedication is a day that looks forward, not back. Hallelujah. From this day forward, or this day upward, from the 24th day of the month. God is nailing it again. He's saying it again. This day, the 24th day of the 9th month, the Feast of Dedication, the Feast of Dedication, Hanukkah, right, the Festival of Lights, from this day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. You know, I believe that on the 25th of this month, God's getting ready to lay a foundation for the church. God's getting ready to start something. How many of you guys want to be a part of what God's getting ready to start? He said, don't be afraid. Roll up your sleeves. We're getting ready to go to work. Hallelujah. In verse 19, he says, is the seed yet in the barn? Yet as yet the vine, and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree has not brought forth fruit, from this day I will bless you. The day of blessing is coming. The day of dedication is coming. And again, the word of the Lord came to Haggai again on the 24th day of the month, again on the feast of dedication. And here's what he says. Speak to Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, and say to him, I will shake heavens and the earth. I'm going to shake it. I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of kingdoms and of the heathen. And I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride on them, and the horses and the riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, I will take you, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, says the Lord, and I will make you a signet, for I have chosen you, says the Lord of hosts. You see, he's a type of Jesus. Amen. And a signet is a ring, right, representing covenant. And that ring represents wedding, right? The Lord's getting ready to finish the work and take us home. Now, the message to the church from Haggai is this. There's going to be some shaking going on. Don't fear. Be strong. Work. I am with you. You are in a covenant relationship. You know what a covenant relationship means? How many moms we got in here? How many moms have ever said, you mess with my kids, what? You mess with me, right? That's what a covenant relationship is, isn't it? And here God is saying, there's no need to be afraid. You know, the world may be afraid, but we're not going to be afraid. Some mountain blows up, we're not going to be afraid. Some war breaks out, we're not going to be afraid. Kingdoms happen, wars happen. You know, we're not going to be afraid. Why? Because we are the church triumphant. Amen. Come on up, praise team. Hallelujah. We're the church triumphant. And even if the world flips upside down, even if mountains are removed, even if islands are cast into the sea, the Lord is my help. The Lord is my source. I know in whom I believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Praise God. Not going to be afraid. Not going to panic. Not going to be afraid. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today that you chose us to be the last generation. The earth is crying for relief. A thousands of years of human suffering. Multitudinous gallons of innocent blood has been shed. From the Native Americans to the Jews to the unborn babies. And the earth is crying for release. For relief. You've chosen us, Lord. You knew before the foundations of the earth that each one of us would be living in that last days. And the message of the hour is from this day forward, from the dedication forward, I'm going to do great things in your life. And maybe you're here this morning and you have, in the last few years, you've been through a shaking. Maybe you've been through something that you don't understand. Why, Lord? Why? What does all this happen? Why did this have to happen to me? I didn't ask for this. I wasn't wanting this. And maybe some medical problem or some relationship problem or some other thing has happened and you didn't understand and you feel shaken this morning. I have one word for you. Dedication. You see, from the day of dedication forward, God says, you know, it doesn't matter what happened in the past. Maybe there was mildew in the past. Maybe there was famine in the past. Maybe there was pestilence in the past. But from the day of dedication, I'm going to be with you and I'm going to see you through and your future is secure in me. Hallelujah. I said, your future is secure in me. And so today, Lord, I believe we're all saved. But Lord, today we need to make a fresh dedication to you. We need to make a fresh commitment to you, Lord, that today, as we enter into a season that the Bible speaks more about than any other time in human history, that we here are ready and able, that we are not a fearful people, regardless of what the headlines say, that we have got the message of Haggai. Be strong, you people, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord. Just take your hand and put it on your heart this morning as we pray a prayer of dedication before we close. Father, in the name of Jesus, I dedicate myself to you afresh. I dedicate my time. I dedicate my money. I dedicate my relationships. I dedicate my speech. I dedicate my motives. I dedicate my energy. I dedicate my life to you today, Lord. Doesn't matter what happened in the past, Lord, you have shaken. But your word to me is I need not be afraid if I dedicate it all to you today, that my future is safe and secure. And as I am dedicated to you, Lord, I just pray that you would use me in this last day harvest. As you prophesied to the people of old, so you have said to us that not to be afraid, but to work, for you're with us. We thank you, Lord, that you're with us today, that you'll never leave us, that you'll never forsake us, and that you love us with an everlasting love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Give someone a big hug before you go.